Hi, I'm Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Colorado, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Twenty-two minutes after the 12 o'clock hour, welcome back into The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy. Joining us now on our First Advantage Hotline, Broncos insider for KOA, Benjamin Albright. I've had the honor to sit in with Benjamin a few programs down in Denver, so that was cool building up the connection. And, dude, appreciate you jumping on with us today, my friend.
Yeah, absolutely, man. For you anytime.
All right, so it's getting bad, dude. It's just getting really rough for this Broncos team. But I'm looking at the clock, 12:23, Benjamin. I'm guessing Nathaniel Hackett's got at least another week in him with the Denver Broncos.
Yeah, I think so. We got the notification yesterday evening that the media sessions this week with the head coach were going to be on as scheduled. So unless something changed or a directive was handed down today, which I'm not aware of, then he's going to be safe for another week. And at this point, you know, you're kind of at the point where it doesn't matter. You know, if you fire him right now, yeah, it satiates some fans' emotions. But in reality, is it changing anything? This team's not going to make the playoffs. They're not going to win out. And there's not really any benefit per se. You're just adding a job title to somebody else for the remainder of the season. So I feel like at this point, it's almost not even beneficial to, you know, to fire the guy midseason. I think you should probably just wait till the end of the year, say, hey, look, you know, Nate, we thank you kindly for trying, but, you know, we have a certain standard here you weren't able to meet, and we're gonna find someone who's able to meet that, but we appreciate your efforts and move on.
What's the percentage chance that he remains as the Broncos coach at the end of the season? I mean, where would you put that at this point?
For a second season?
Yeah.
Whatever the closest number to zero is without actually being zero.
So, like, there's no, like, miraculous, oh, well, they beat Baltimore. Okay, I say this every week. That's not happening. So he's gone. I think we're all pretty sure about that at this stage. Let me ask you about Russell Wilson, Benjamin. And you've covered this team. You've covered a lot of football. I look at Russ and I go, how did he hit this wall so quickly? Even last year, I know it was a down year with Seattle, but his numbers were still much better. I'm still one of those guys, dude, that I just refuse to believe that he got that bad overnight. Is Russell Wilson just a product of the injuries, the coaching surrounding him? What is it about the guy?
Well, the short answer is yes. It's a product of all of it. I think the combination of the fact that the Seattle wide receivers are vastly underrated, I think that, you know, he's learning a new system that really just does not play to his strengths. They tried to hybrid that system and bring in a couple of concepts he likes and mishmash that with what Nathaniel Hackett wants to do, and they're just not a fit for each other, which can be tough. You know, it's tough at the NFL level for two guys that are they've been at the top of their game to sit there and set ego aside and say, well, you know, what I do with this guy, we just can't make it work, you know? And so I think if you're Nathaniel Hackett, you either needed to pull the plug a couple of weeks ago and say, all right, look, we're just going to find out what Russell Wilson can do. We're going to do that. We're going to go back to 2020. We're going to take Brian Schottenheimer's playbook, and we're just going to run that. And they just didn't do that. And so they kept doing square peg, round hole stuff. And at the end of it, you see, you've got an offensive line that can't protect Russ. You've got an offense that's designed for deep developing plays that doesn't, you know, the offense has to protect for. You have receivers that aren't getting open. The quarterback that isn't seeing it. And I think that's the frustration is that there's not any one thing to just pin it on. It's so many things wrong at the same time. That's what's so exasperating.
I think you're exactly right. It's hard to just say, well, it's the coach. But then again, there's all these injuries, especially on the offensive line. But then again, when Russ does have some openings, he's not hitting those either. So it's just been a culmination of all of those things that you mentioned, which is why it's getting so frustrating for these Broncos fans. How is the locker room at this point? Every week we could probably ask you the locker room update, the locker room status. You saw Purcell, Russell Wilson got a little heated there on the sidelines. Is this defense, are they starting to get to that breaking point where it's like, man, we're, other than Sunday, you know, we're putting out great output every single week, and we finally had enough?
I don't think so. I think the locker room's actually in pretty good shape. I think relative to the way you see fans melting down on social media and stuff, the locker room's actually more or less fine. It's difficult not to like Nathaniel Hackett. He's an emotional guy. He's a friendly guy. And the players like him. So, you know, I think there's that. As far as the locker room splintering or anything, I know we all sell stuff on TV, but Purcell and Russell said that was a nothing burger, you know, that Purcell was mad that he got the flag. He came over there and said, you know, was trying to fire Russ up and said, we need to get some bleeping points. Russell's like, okay, I got you, you know, that kind of thing. And that's what they say. That's how they sit down. I mean, it could be spin, but, you know, at the same time, both of them are on the same page about it. So I tend to believe them. Do I think defense is tired of carrying the offense? Sure. Do I think that, you know, the team is tired of losing? Absolutely. But do I think that there's any internal strife going on right now? I don't believe that.
Well, and you, of course, you're talking to these players on a daily basis, on a weekly basis for your program and just throughout the day, too. So, I mean, I guess that's encouraging when you look at it. But at the end of the day, when you look forward at this team and what's next for George Payton, and I know they got to get through this season, but I'm sure in the back of his brain or maybe in the front of his brain, he's already putting together, you know, ideas of potential head coaches that he's going to contact. What are you hearing in your circles? Are we there at that point yet, or is it too soon in the game now that, you know, we still got a few weeks left in the season?
I think that you always, as a general manager, kind of have a short list of guys that you're looking at for the future, just in case you ever need that short list. I think that there's, you know, there are names on that. I think that some of those names are guys that we saw get interviewed in the last cycle. Jonathan Gannon, the defensive coordinator of the Eagles. Dan Quinn, the defensive coordinator of the Dallas Cowboys. And I think that would be the front runner, would be Dan Quinn. Quinn would probably bring Brian Schottenheimer with him. Schottenheimer is a consultant with the Cowboys right now. And he famously was the architect of the Let Russ Cook, you know, early 2020 season before Pete Carroll put the shackles on that because they were scoring too fast and the defense was too tired. You know, I think that's a possibility. The thing that you're going to have to frame all this through at the end of the day is you're tied to Russell Wilson until 2024, 2025 because of the cap hit, the dead cap hit from cutting or trading him either way. So you're going to have to build around him, and you're going to have to find somebody that can work with him either way. And so I think if you're going to look at candidates or look at a short list group of names, you need to find people that are willing to work with Russell Wilson and do what Russ wants to do, because that ultimately is what you're going to be doing either way.
Benjamin Albright joining us, Broncos insider for KOA. Benjamin, I hate even asking this because it's so unrealistic, because people, you know, they say, man, you are stuck. This is the situation. They extended Russell Wilson's contract. What, for our listeners out there, what does that look like? When is there a potential chance of, if the Broncos finally see enough, you have to take a major hit and swallow everything and move on from Russ? Like, what is it going to take to get to that point, and what would that ultimately do for the Broncos franchise?
Well, there's really no way to do that. I mean, there's a financial way you can kind of do that after the 2023 season. I retweeted an article that a friend of mine from Over the Cap wrote, and you can go to my Twitter timeline, Albright NFL, and read that if you want, and it explains it in detail. But there's really just not a financial way to be able to do that until 2025. I mean, there are some ways you can do that, but you're going to hamstring the franchise. As it sits, so much of Russell Wilson's contract is guaranteed that you have $107 million in dead cap any which way you slice it. So you can't even field a football team with that. And the Broncos, as it is, are going to be about $20 million under the cap for next season, but you've got extensions you need to sign with guys like Draymond Jones, Dalton Reisner, and things like that. So that's really a phony number. As far as making the move, I mean, I think you're pretty much tied him to 2025. There's kind of an out after the 2024 season, or the 2023 season rather, if you use a post June 1 designation, but you're taking two huge cap hits, dead cap hits, over the course of two seasons and spreading it out, and it's just not something that's realistically done in the NFL.
You mentioned a couple of guys on that list, and I think that Broncos fans just kind of have to absorb that with Russell Wilson, for better or worse. I think you're 100% right. He's here to stay. You might as well try to pick his brain and figure out what's going to work around him. You mentioned Draymond Jones, Dalton Reisner. What's the likelihood, at least at this stage, that both of those guys will be back next year?
I think Draymond's pretty likely. Dalton Reisner, it really just depends on what he wants in terms of contract. I think they're going to try to hometown discount him. I don't think they think necessarily he's as a high a priority as maybe some of the fans do. They haven't liked some of the tape that he's put out there at times where he's just kind of on the ground. So I think he's one that's a question mark. The other thing is you've got some guys that are underwater on their contracts. You know, Ronald Darby, Garrett Bowles, guys like that will be underwater on their contracts the next go-round. So they'll either need to restructure or they'll probably get traded. So there's going to be a shakeup along the offensive line. The only guy I would guarantee will be back on that offensive line would be Quinn Meinerz at right guard.
Interesting. Well, I'm sure offensive line is going to be a point of emphasis this offseason. They somehow did find a way with the Bradley Chubb trade to get a first-round pick, albeit San Francisco's first-round pick. But what's that with Miami-San Francisco? That's got to be it, though, right? I mean, offensive line is what you're looking at 100%, or are there other key positions that you look at and say, if the right guy comes available, they might go that direction?
Well, I think you've always got to be able to, adjust on the fly and evaluate, look and see if some great talent falls down into your lap. I mean, you kind of got to be flexible about that. But they definitely have their eye on offensive tackle, and I would suggest that Paris Johnson of Ohio State, or the kid from Northwestern, would be at the top of that list. But if a great corner falls there, or a great receiver falls there, you got to take a look at it at least. I think they could use another infusion of speed at with the receivers. Jalen Virgil, they're not using him right now. KJ Hamler's been injured. They just don't have anybody else that takes the top off. So, right now I think that's something you got to kind of keep your eye on. If an elite talent there at receiver comes available, you got to take a look.
Benjamin, my man, love catching up with you. I wish we could, when we got to get together, we could talk about some positive stuff surrounding this team for once. I mean, that would be exciting. I look forward to that day.
Yeah, we'll have to do that. Hopefully that'll happen soon, and we'll get beers and discuss it.
Sounds great, my man. Appreciate you popping on with us, and we'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, absolutely. Take care.
All right. Benjamin Albright, Broncos insider for KOA. Michael, got a little breaking news here today coming out. Cody Tucker, our Wyoming Cowboys insider, just shared this on his Facebook page. But University of Wyoming head football coach Craig Bohl announced on Monday that junior running back Titus Swen, that guy, stud, has been dismissed from the Cowboy football team for violation of team rules. So I don't know what that means. We're going to look into it. Maybe we can get Cody to pop on here in just a minute, but we'll see. 34 minutes after the hour, let's get the latest on the Local Sports Flash.